with your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. You're with Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And welcome aboard, everybody. It's 4 minutes past the hour of 10 p.m. on Friday night here on the East Coast of the United States. And you know what day and time it is wherever you are listening to the Steve Malzberg Show on TNT Radio. I don't usually touch on sports much on this show, but I do want to start with something. I don't know how many of you are following the NCAA, you know, college basketball tournament, which is in full swing. And not history, but kind of history was made just a little while ago. Fairleigh Dickinson, a school from New Jersey, pulled off one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history. They beat Purdue 63-58. Now, you know, there are four brackets, right? Four regions, I should say. Each have 16 teams. And the way it goes is the top seed plays the 16th seed. And throughout history, I think I have the record here. So the 16th seed was Fairleigh Dickinson in the Eastern region of the NCAA tournament. The number one seed was Purdue. And as I said, Fairleigh Dickinson won. Prior to tonight, in the history of opening round games, the first seed had won 150 of 151 games in history. The only other time it happened was when the University of Maryland at Baltimore County beat Virginia in 2018. So now tonight, the second time in NCAA college basketball tournament history, that Fairleigh Dickinson knocked off the top seed. The 16th seed knocked off the top seed. Just really amazing stuff. It's what sports is
really what sports is all about. You live for these moments. And at least in this venue, it doesn't come. It certainly doesn't come that often. Now, twice in 152 games throughout history. Now, I bring this up for a couple of reasons, because it's so big and it just happened. And I feel it's incumbent upon me. I do a current show and I try to keep the show current. But also, it takes us to Kamala Harris. It takes us to Kamala Harris. She was in Iowa. And there were a bunch of games going on in Iowa. I believe it was the West region tournament. And this is yesterday. And Kamala Harris's alma mater was playing. They were the 16th seed. Okay. They were the 16th seed. And they were playing in Iowa. First time they were in the NCAA tournament since 1992. All right. And they got killed. They got trounced. They got beaten badly, 96-68. 96-68. Almost just about a 30-point loss, which, you know, in basketball is it's a laugher. It's a pathetic performance. But again, it's the number one seed against the 16th seed. These things happen. But after the game, now remember, Kamala Harris went to Howard University. She graduated in 86 from Howard University, which is a traditionally black university. So after the game, she wanders down with her husband to the locker room. And imagine how the Howard University Bisons, that's their name, are feeling. They just got blown out on a national stage, making their first appearance since what, 92? So we're talking 02, 12, 22. We're talking 33 years, not the 31 years. And Kamala Harris walks in there
and talks to them like they are a bunch of little leaguers or 7-year-olds, telling them how great they were and how great they played. You got to hear this. This is cut 209.
You guys are so good. You played hard, you played to the very last second. You made all us Bison so, so proud. You hustled out there, you are smart, you are disciplined, you put everything you had into the game. And you know, that's what it's about, right? Until the last minute, you guys did that. You didn't stop until the last second, you did not stop. And that is so inspiring. So you keep playing with chin up and shoulders back, because you showed the world who Bison are, right? I mean, you literally, what you have done is in historic proportion.
Can you believe that? Almost forget what she's saying. Just listen to her tone. It's like she's talking to little kids that she has to console and she has to lie to. Now listen to what she was saying, that she has to lie to. Oh, you were great. Oh, we were so proud of you, little Johnny. Oh, you played to the very end. You keep your chin up. You made everybody, you showed the world who you are. They lost by 30 points. It's like she's it's like she always talks like she's talking to second graders. That's her mental capacity in relaying a message. That's her level. I mean, that's embarrassing. Can you imagine sitting there? You want to get her the hell out. By the way, reportedly, her and her husband, when they put them on the scoreboard and announced that they were there, they were booed. Gotta love that. But, oh, you were you were so great. Keep playing like that. Yeah. First of all, the season's over. A lot of them aren't coming back probably. But, yeah, yo, keep playing like that. Keep losing by 30 points. Again, to a much better team. I'm not saying this wasn't expected. But you go into the locker room and you talk to them like they're second graders. And they're crying. And they need to be consoled? Did you have lollipops to hand out? Did you ask them if they want to go to the 7-Eleven? I mean, what the heck? And there's another one. Oh, there's another one. Here's cut 210.
You know, I was at Howard back in the day where we were just happy that there was a game. Much less getting to this place. Right? And I see Bison literally all over the world. And we've been talking about you, this team. This team, you all, this team, this year, this team, you make us so proud. So I know you may not be feeling great right now, okay? But know who you are. You are excellence. You are hard work. You are powerful. And you are winners, all right? So please know that. Please know that, and I'll see you later.
I'll see you later. When Daddy comes home, I'll have him come in and talk to you too. Daddy called me. He's very proud of you. He's very proud of you. You are winners. You are, you know, all over the world I go and people are talking about you. What a clown. I mean, really, what a clown. What a disgrace. You know what you do? You go in there and you say, hey, guys, look. Obviously, this isn't the outcome you wanted, but you had a real good season. Hold your head up high and be proud. And that's it. That's it. Not 2.5 minutes, 10 seconds. On and on and on and on and on and on with the same crap. Like, you know, like they can't stop crying. Again, like their self-esteem needs to be reinforced or God knows they'll commit suicide or they'll never recover if you don't say these ridiculous things to them. It's so juvenile. It's so sad. It's so pathetic. It really is. You are just great. You played so hard. We're so proud of you. I mean, that's what every parent says to a little kid who loses. Give them credit. Give them credit for the adults they are. Speak to them like adults. I know you don't speak to anybody like adults. I remember she was at the Space Center and she had the honoring some astronauts. And I think the one, you know, she talked about two of them that were there, how they got on the rocket and they took the elevator. She wasn't talking to kids. And they took the elevator up to the capsule and they looked down and waved to family and friends. Like, who are you? Are you crazy? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I couldn't resist. I could not resist. All right. Kamala Harris. It just never ends with her. Never, ever ends with this woman. I don't know what to say. I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know how it's going to end. Here's another one. If you could take it. This is Joe Scarborough. Yesterday, we played you, Joe Scarborough, mocking Ron DeSantis because, according to macho, masculine, athletic Joe, he didn't approve of the way DeSantis was having a catch with Brian Kilmeade of Fox during a recorded interview when they were both had baseball gloves on, tossing around a hard ball, and he had a suit on. They were tossing it. This guy played baseball, as Joe acknowledged. DeSantis played college baseball. So there's no question about his athletic prowess. There's no question he knows how to throw a baseball. But yet Joe had to look at this video and keep running it over and over again. And every time DeSantis threw the ball, Joe said, "Wee! Wee!" Which, as I said yesterday, to me, the way I interpreted it, Ron DeSantis is a sissy, or as we used to say back in the day, a sissy Mary who throws like a girl. Now, you can't say that anymore, but I just did. That's what he was trying to relate by going, "Wee!" Now, I wonder what he said when Barack Obama threw out the first pitch when he was president and looked like, not even a girl, looked like a creature from outer space. He didn't know how to throw. It's like he never held a baseball. Okay. Like he never threw a baseball. But DeSantis was lobbing the ball back and forth with Brian Kilmeade. Whee! What an idiot. So now on his show, he plays a clip of Donald Trump talking about the trouble this country is in because of the left. And then just gets totally carried away and winds up saying, if Trump and the Republicans don't like this country, why don't they leave? Just insanity, more insanity. So I want you to hear it. And here it comes. This is Joe Scarborough. This is cut 20. Well, first, it's Trump, cut 205.
Finally, we have to finish the process we began under my administration of fundamentally reevaluating NATO's purpose and NATO's mission. Our foreign policy establishment keeps trying to pull the world into conflict with a nuclear-armed Russia based on the lie that Russia represents our greatest threat. But the greatest threat to Western civilization today is not Russia. It's probably, more than anything else, ourselves and some of the horrible USA-hating people that represent us. It's the abolition of our national borders. It's the failure to police our own cities. It's the destruction of the rule of law from within. It's the collapse of the nuclear family and fertility rates like nobody can believe is happening.
Okay, that's certainly fair. In other words, what he was saying, if you translate, he's talking about trying to transition kids and groom kids in school. You know, teaching them that if they're a boy, they're a girl. If they're a girl, they're a boy. Crime in our cities, which is totally out of control. The people who hate this country. And there's plenty of them on the left, plenty of them on the left. So these kinds of issues. OK, he didn't say he hated America. He didn't say he despises America. He loves America and wants to fix it. But Joe Scarborough, I don't know. I guess when you have Trump derangement syndrome, you are out of your mind. Because listen to how Joe reacts to what you just heard Trump say. And this is cut 206.
It's the Marxists who would have us become a godless nation worshiping at the altar of race and gender.
You know what's boring to me? What's boring to me is the hatred for America.
Yeah.
The hatred from America that you hear spewing from Donald Trump's mouth. Donald Trump hated America before he became president of the United States, talked about how the American dream was dead. Yeah, try telling that to the immigrants, the migrants, the refugees, risking their lives to come to the United States of America because what do they believe in? The American dream. In fact, talk to immigrants that get here. They will tell you about the American dream. It's talked about all over the world, all over the world. And here's Donald Trump. Jen Psaki, it's crazy. I mean, Donald Trump hates America.
First of all, this is really sad. I mean, this is really bad, too. There's no indication that anything Donald Trump said indicates that he hates America. He loves it so much, he wants to fix it. He wants to save it because it is going to hell. From the breakup of the nuclear family to everything else he said. You can't walk the streets. You can't send your kids to school. I mean, right on down the list, everything. And he's 100% correct. How is that in your wildest dreams, in your biggest stretch of your sick imagination, how does that translate to hating America? And he hated America the first time? Because what? Because he said, make America great again and said America, you know, the American dream was dying and needed fixing. That's hating America? No, that's looking at America and giving an evaluation. It's just no way, no how does it, can you even stretch it to mean that under no circumstances? And we should ask immigrants? That's who we should ask? Immigrants who are coming from supposedly, you know, these countries that they're all under threat. They're all being threatened. They're going to get killed if they go back or if they don't leave and blah, 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 blah. The worst, most horrible, despicable conditions. And they're coming here. And so that's supposed to prove something. That's part of the problem. No border, as Trump mentioned. But that aside, so you're going to ask people who don't live here and are theoretically escaping, you know, dictatorial conditions and say to them, oh, what are you going to say to them? What do you hear about the United States? Why did you come to the United States? And that's supposed to prove Donald Trump wrong? That we do have a border? That we don't have problems in school with the tried and transition kids? That we don't have a crime in the streets? I mean, none of it makes sense. It's nonsensical. It's idiotic. But that doesn't stop them. Doesn't stop him. Doesn't stop them at all. Here's 207.
The United States?
Mm-hmm.
The United States, the country, as Fox News anchors used to remind us, the country that has fed and free. Wait a second. That was Roger Ailes who would say, this country has fed and freed more people than any other planet in the history of the world. And Roger was right on that one. We have, and we continue to. The United States, we won World War I. We won World War II with the help of our allies. We were the driving force. We were the arsenal of democracy. Look what we're doing helping Ukraine. Push back against war crimes daily.
Mm-hmm.
And yet all Donald Trump does, all other people do, is they bash the United States of America. They attack the United States military, our men and women in armed forces. They attack our intel community. They hate America by their own words.
I did not hear one I again, nonsensical. It's just, it's like he's talking about something that we didn't see, that he didn't play. We won World War One. We won World War Two with our, what has that got to do with it? George Washington crossed the Delaware. Okay. What has that got to do with anything? We beat the British. We got our independence. How could they, how could you not say this country is perfect the way it is? See, that's the problem. Of course, we're the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but we have people within the country who want to destroy it, who want to tell you every white person is a racist because they're white, who want to tell every kid that they're probably, they got a penis, but they should have a vagina. And I'm talking about telling little kids. They want to have no borders on the north and south to let everybody who wants to come in, come in. And they want to change the culture. If it's so great, Joe, why do they want to change the culture? That the people invading this country illegally and the Democrats who want to keep them here illegally or make them legal and so on. And the crime in the streets at record numbers, the murders. I mean, you can't. So don't you want to fix it? Don't you want to make it as great as it could be? Don't you want to make it better? Or because we won World War One, we should be satisfied? Because we have people breaking into this country who are running away from communist regimes, we should be satisfied? I mean, I just have to make this point over and over. It's like Joy Behar is saying it. It's like Sonny, that's not my name, racist, according to Newsbusters, Hostin is saying it. It's like Whoopi is saying it. You expect it from them. I mean, Joe's out there. He's crazy, in my view, you know, as far as Trump derangement syndrome. But to play what you heard from Trump and then say he hates this country based on what he played and based on what he's saying, he hasn't given one example of anybody hating this country except the left. Trump gave the left's example. They're okay with crime in the streets. They're okay with an invasion from the border. They're okay with everything that's going wrong, what they're doing to our kids in the schools. You got to hate the country to be in favor of that, but to fix it, to want to fix it, you got to love the country. So just wackadoo. And I believe we have one more. If we didn't do 208, let's do 208.
And if they hate it so much, why don't they move to Russia? Russia will take them. They've taken Steven Seagal. They'll take Donald Trump and everybody else saying that the U.S. military is going to use helicopters that it used in Afghanistan to kill Americans who voted for Trump. Like, they hate us. They hate America. So why are they still here?
Okay. Again, I'm not accusing. I'm not saying he is. Believe me, he was not drunk. He was not on drugs. He was not on pills. He was not under the influence of anything except sickness. The hatred for Trump, the hatred for Republicans, the hatred for MAGA, that kind of hatred. It's just, to me, warped his mind. And he'll tell you, I'm a conservative. A conservative what? A conservative what? Oh, my goodness. All right, folks. If you could get over Kamala and Joe, I got more ahead for you. I got somebody singing a song that all whites are racist just because they're white. Oh, yeah. It gets better and better. Don't touch that dial. Steve Malzberg, Friday edition, right here on TNT Radio.
Politically Incorrect on TNT Radio.
Dr. Judy Wileyman, she's been observing, and there are others now making the same statements, that the cumulative buildup of vaccines or injections or whatever are causing untold damage. The continuation of jabbing everyone is not the way to go.
When we're told about vaccines, they have aluminium in them, they have mercury in them, which is accumulative in the brain. The aluminium will also push down your fighter cells, your lymphocytes, leukocytes, macrophages, monocytes, and it will ramp up your cytokine response, that temperature, that fluid that comes. Now, the other thing, this goes back a long time. We're talking about eugenics never ended, and we've seen meetings here at University College London, and those that are in government have links to eugenics. And we look at what's actually come. You had Hermann Pichon, who worked for the Third Reich, who was looking at how radiation affected blood and water. Now we have glyphosate, which has absolutely saturated our water table. Now you put aluminium with glyphosate, you're going to get 6 new compounds in the gut. You bring in fluoride, and now you've got another weapon.
Politically Incorrect with Mike Tennessee and Richard Carson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Steve Malzberg on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, folks, we are back. So let's move ahead on Friday, where we don't have a guest. We only have me. And we got a good lineup coming up next week. I'll tell you about it a little later. So let's move on to the Media Research Center. I did this a couple of weeks ago. Every week they post something on their website, also on newsbusters.org. It's called the Woke of the Week. Okay, Woke of the Week. And there's a woman who hosts it, but I get the bites that some of the bites that she plays. So this is pretty insane. This is somebody from TikTok, I guess. She didn't identify her name. A black young girl, young woman. And well, I'll let you hear it for yourself. Here's cut 201.
I'm feeling spicy, so here's my hot take of the day. All white people are racist. Every single last one of them, all of them are racist. And I don't mean that to say, like, every single individual white person, if I talk to you, you would have some kind of racist ideology. I'm saying that as a white person, you uphold a system of racism by literally just being white. I believe if you're not spending your literal entire life dismantling racism, then you're contributing to its continuation.
There you go. All white people are racist. And if you don't think that that is a widely accepted belief. Now, remember the Rasmussen poll that came out a couple of weeks ago, and it caused a ruckus because the creator of Dilford, the cartoon, he read the results of the poll and he said that white people need to stay away from black people because they're dangerous. Now, again, I told you my feelings on what he said, and we played that soundbite, but he was responding to a poll that showed, and let me get this straight, I think 52% of blacks said, the question was, is it okay to be white? And 52%, if I remember correctly, of blacks said yes. But some 40% said no. It's not okay to be white. Well, what the hell is that? I mean, what is that if that's accurate? And Rasmussen has always been one of the most, notwithstanding what CNN and others say about Rasmussen, they don't meet our standards as a pollster. Baloney. So what is that? What if this were the other way around? What if whites were asked, is it okay to be black? And 40% said no. All hell would break loose. So when you have a woman like this, a young woman who's black, on TikTok saying what she just said, and when you have all over the country, companies, schools, employers putting out, you know, notices and postings and ads and basically saying whites need not apply for positions and opportunities and events. They want people of color. They want African. They want blacks, Latinos, indigenous. Whites are left off the list. Even the National Hockey League did that until they were called out by Ron DeSantis. And then they said, oh, that was a mistake. My ass, it was a mistake. This is not just some idiot, although she's an idiot and a racist. But this is a thought, a feeling, a belief that is growing and growing and growing and is out there. And the left pushes this openly and outwardly under the guise of equity. Corporations openly campaign against white people in one way or another under the guise of equity and equality and opportunity. So I want to present to you another wackadoo. These are two people. This is a white mother, a white woman singing, and then a teacher, a white teacher. So these are two white people now that you're going to hear from the podcast Woke of the Week. And here is cut 202.
It's the Marxists.
Racism refers to power and race. If you are the powerful race in a society, then you're f-ing racist. Like, I just don't understand why it's so taboo.
If you're white, yes, you are racist. Even if you think you're woke, we all benefit from oppression. Pretending you're not racist only makes racism grow.
White privilege. Think about it. Whose flesh tone is this? I have brown Band-Aids in my classroom. I had to special order them. They're twice as much as these, and they're hard to find, and they're frequently out of stock. But when I hand a brown child a white Band-Aid, I am literally adding insult to injury, and I refuse to do that in my classroom.
Yes, you just heard what you heard. A white teacher had to order brown Band-Aids because she will not give a white Band-Aid. I've never seen a white Band-Aid. I guess there are white bandages, but a Band-Aid's kind of pink. But I guess she calls those white. She will not give a white Band-Aid to a student of color because it adds insult, literally, to injury. That's a teacher in the classroom in charge of your kids. And this is one of the things that Trump is talking about. This is really scary stuff. Very, very, very scary stuff. If you don't think so, then man, oh man, God bless you. God bless you. But all whites are racist. And, you know, I wouldn't. Well, what? Give my one of my children in the classroom a white Band-Aid? Are you kidding? I had to go find a dark-skinned Band-Aid to put on their dark skin. I'm not going to insult them. Oh, man. Oh, man. This is where we're headed. This is where we are. In many, many respects. And it's growing quickly and getting worse much, much, much too fast. And I just don't know if people don't speak up about it as it's growing, as it's happening, like we're doing right here. And I mean, people of power, Republicans, elected officials, other teachers, school board members, if they don't start pointing this out and telling and saying this is that, and parents don't start protesting it, we're done. This will be accepted crap. And it'll only get worse from here. Worse from here. Who knows what they'll come up with next? All right, now Fox. Let's go to Fox. Of course, we've had the big thing, Tucker, the Dominion lawsuit, and all that stuff, and Tucker with the January 6th video. So earlier in the week on MSNBC, Katie Fang has Eric Swalwell, the Democratic congressman, on, okay? And they're talking about Fox, and you got to hear this stuff. Here is cut 140.
I'm worried a lot about Americans and the disinformation and the misinformation that was pumped out of Fox News. Has there been any discussions in Congress about maybe congressional oversight, regulations, maybe the FCC getting involved? I know we all respect the First Amendment, Congressman, but should there be some type of gatekeeping that happens so that this doesn't happen again?
Well, again, I think about our troops, and I've been all over the world and have visited our troops in some of the harshest places, and nothing makes them feel more like home than their access, you know, to American television programming. And a popular channel is Fox News. And again, I don't want to get in the business of telling troops what they can and cannot watch.
But, is there anything we could do to make sure Americans don't see so much? The FCC, first of all, the FCC does not regulate or give licenses to cable. It's different than over the air. And shame on her for not knowing that. And I don't know if Swalwell says that later or not. But can you imagine this? Can you this again? It shouldn't surprise you. This is what they want to do. What they'd love to do is get Fox off the air and just have the left-wing propaganda. Like her show and MSNBC and the rest of them. But it's problematic that our military watches Fox News. Isn't it? Here's cut 141.
But if you have a news station that a court is going to rule is in its evening hour, perpetuating dis and misinformation. I don't know if I disagree with Beau Betts, who is saying that we need to take a look at, how this is being broadcast to our troops. I hope that's an incentive for Fox News to clean up its evening hour, starting with Tucker Carlson and going late into the evening with Laura Ingraham. They all spun and told these lies. So I don't think we're without complete recourse.
We're not without complete recourse. We'll fix them. We'll make Fox revamp their entire primetime lineup. We'll get Tucker and Sean and Ingram the hell off there. We'll make Fox revamp their entire primetime lineup. We'll get Tucker and Sean and Ingram the hell off there because we don't like them. Now, of course, you and the rest of the people here on MSNBC, Katie, never lie. Never lie, never misinform, never give ridiculously insane opinions. No, you just give the straight news facts. Same at CNN. And by the way, ABC, NBC, CBS, blah, 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 blah. It's only Fox News. This is again, scary, dangerous stuff. If they had every branch, if they controlled everything, this is what they would do. Don't think they wouldn't. They'd pack the Supreme Court. They would censor all conservative talk and thought and broadcast. It would not be good. It would not be good. All right, let's move on. Here's Jen Psaki, former White House spokesperson. And she's asked about, this is on MSNBC also later, asked about Fox and, should they be censored or what should happen? She now works for MSNBC, of course. Here's cut 155.
The piece here that is very difficult and tricky that I think is not getting enough attention is Fox News still has an enormous viewership.
That's right.
I don't know if that's going to change. Their business model is not getting Democrats on their air. So I understand and completely relate to Democrats who are saying we should ban it. We shouldn't appear on it. They don't care. I'm not sure they care. Why would they care? So the question is not just what do we call them? Sure, we should decide that. But also, what are we going to do about the fact that they still have an enormous viewership consuming a huge swath of the country, including independents and Democrats who still watch Fox News? We'll see if that's the case in 6 months, but I don't know.
Wow. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? They have a large viewership, including Democrats and independents. Wow. And of course, those Democrats and independents and Republicans aren't smart enough to make up their own mind on what they want to watch and should not have a right to make up their own mind. We need to tell them what they will watch.
We will not let them watch that. They should not watch that. We will see what we will do. I mean, this is what it sounds like. It's like a bunch of Nazis. You know, that's a bunch of Nazis. What can I tell you? But that's what you're hearing. Now, Howard Kurtz, who does the media show on Fox on Sundays, for weeks he was wanting to permission to talk about the lawsuit that Fox is, and the court proceedings that Fox is involved with, the Dominion voting machines lawsuit. And I think he got permission to weigh in on that. He also talked a little bit about Tucker. And here's some of what he had to say this past Sunday on Fox News Channel, cut 156.
Now, I'm going to give you both sides, but let me say this. Fox's critics and competitors are denouncing the network, and many of them are rooting not just for Fox to lose the suit, but to be wiped out as a company because they can't stand the mostly conservative views of a relative handful of opinion hosts, the essence of free speech. The heart of Dominion's suit is a gap between some hosts privately saying they didn't believe Trump's fraud claims or didn't like the president and what was said on the air. Dominion argues Fox duped the audience to boost ratings. But while any company's confidential messages would be embarrassing.
Yep. Yep. I mean, they got all the confidential messages, which is really, really nuts. But that's what did them in here. Look, I don't defend a lot of what Fox did. I do not defend a lot of what Fox did. I'll tell you that right now. But this talk of kicking them off the air, or not the air, off cable. And look, Newsmax was dropped by DirecTV. What's the other one? The other one that was dropped, it'll come to me. That they've dropped conservative outlets from cable. You know, providers have dropped conservative sources and outlets. And there's nothing, if there's government pressure and some kind of government directive, there's nothing to stop these other places from dropping, you know, the Fox, Direct, Dish, and all of them. Don't think that couldn't happen. We are living in dangerous times where white people are racist just because they're white, where conservatives are evil. And if you speak out about the conditions in this country or against the war in Ukraine, well, you're a Russian agent. Go live in Russia. And don't think they don't mean it. Very, very dangerous times that we're going through. Extremely dangerous times. Now, Stephen A. Smith of sports fame, of ESPN fame, weighed in on Tucker. Weighed in on Tucker Carlson. Okay? And he does a video podcast in addition to everything else he does. And here is some of what he had to say about Tucker Carlson. This is cut 168.
Tucker Carlson took the cake to me because he was trying to act like, you know, they only showed, you know, violent protesters as if, but they didn't show the peaceful protesters. And one particular individual, I forgot what his name was. He was wearing horns, some helmet on his head with horns or whatever, and how the police just escorted him in the chambers and stuff. These are peaceful protesters. Who the hell are you fooling? Who you playing with, Tucker Carlson? You full of it, bro. You full of it.
You're full of it, bro. I get a kick out of Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, before he came to ESPN, used to have another show on. I don't know what it was on. I forget. This is going back, you know, over 10 years and maybe 13 years. And I used to be on his show and I used to bring my son. He was always nice to my son. Anyway, here's more from Stephen A., cut 169.
The insurrectionists, the violent ones, we know every single person there wasn't violent. But if the pathway that was set for you to walk into the Capitol peacefully and be peaceful while you got there was initiated by violent protesters, then they were the violent protesters. You may not have been violent, but you're involved and you were complicit because your presence inside the Capitol was capitalized off of the violence that preceded your entry. Who don't know that? Who doesn't know that? One thing about Tucker Carlson is that we know he's smart. He's not stupid. He knows that. But you want to portray something else. Why? Why? Because you want to deflect attention away from the insurrectionist.
Isn't that wonderful? By the way, this is a podcast called No Mercy, K-N-O-W, No Mercy, and this is via Awful Announcing. Okay, just going to give credit where credit is due. Boy, he's on a roll with this. He is really on a Stephen A. Smith roll, going after Tucker. And, you know, I'll let him finish before I weigh in. Here's cut 170.
We know what happened. And I just read you the names of five people who died. And you had the audacity to go on the air and try to highlight that there were peaceful protesters. And then y'all wonder why the hell the country appears to have gone to hell in a handbasket. It's because of this BS. BS like that. I'm not calling Tucker Carlson BS. I don't know him like that. I'm talking about his coverage on this specific story. We'll never have civility in this country when you're doing stuff like that.
Really? Really? We'll never have stability in this country when you're doing stuff like that? What Tucker Carlson did? Tucker Carlson's airing of the video and his analysis on it, presenting what he believed to be the case while stating, you know, his opinion and giving facts that no police officers died on that day. I've already been through that. I do believe the officer who died the next day of natural causes, I think it was related, we were told he was hit in the head with a fire extinguisher and died there. So there's a lot of things we were told and that remain kind of legend, even though they didn't happen. Tucker made clear he found the violence to be abhorrent, and I find any violence to be abhorrent. I wonder when Stephen A. Smith's going to do a rant about Antifa, do a rant about what they did to the police facility outside of Atlanta, throwing the Molotov cocktails and the bricks at the police, the 20-some-odd people, mostly from out of town, some from out of the country, that were arrested and charged with domestic terrorism. Stephen A. Smith going to do a rant on that? Absolutely not. Here's cut 171.
But you have to remember, Ron was a disciple.
Oh, sorry about
Paul
that.
Ryan.
All right, my fault. That I got carried away. That's Trump knocking Ron DeSantis. We'll get to that in a minute. But so Stephen A, you know, I love him. I like watching him. He's good television. He's good radio. But this is, you know, and he's entitled to his opinion. And it's not like he's going after Tucker. But when he says things like, as long as that happens, as long as Tucker presents something like that, or those kinds of things are presented, that this country's, you know, kind of over. It's never going to heal. It's never going to get better. And you totally ignore the violence on the other side. I mean, outside of January 6th, and don't get me wrong, there was plenty of violence and people have gone to jail, and rightfully so in many cases. But outside of that, where's all this MAGA violence been? What I see is destruction and courthouses and, you know, by Antifa in Portland and this the police there here attacks and the riots in the streets, the BLM riots after George Floyd. I don't see all the MAGA stuff going on. What am I missing? Please, if I'm missing something, please do tell me. All right, let's end it with Donald Trump going after Ron DeSantis. I don't like it one bit. Here's 171.
But you have to remember, Ron was a disciple of Paul Ryan, who is a rhino loser who currently is destroying Fox and would constantly vote against entitlements. He would just vote against. Remember that? The wheelchair over the cliffs. The Democrats used it. The wheelchair over the cliff commercial, very effective. That was about him. But Ryan, Paul Ryan's a big reason that Mitt Romney, I'm not a big fan of Mitt Romney, lost his election. And to be honest with you, Ron,
all right, so he went on and on and on and on, knocking Ron DeSantis. And, you know, really, I mean, already, he hasn't even announced yet, but I guess he's taking preemptive action. All right, folks, I apologize for the technical difficulties. See you on Monday. Have a great rest of your weekend. Steve Malzberg right here on TNT Radio.